Welcome board wrestling fans. Episode 10 is officially here, and this is going to be a little different than your normal episode. You see, we've lost Think So Joe. He's in the delves and reaches of space, or the unknown. Perhaps parts unknown, we don't know. And fortunately, we've also lost JT and Drow Goddess to other ailments that we won't discuss on this podcast. However, the two MVPs, that's right, two MVPs of this particular radio broadcast have managed to make it out. And one of them is Mr. Pint Noir. And the other is myself, G. And what we're going to do today is we're going to run through the events of the week as pertaining to the WWE and TNA, and perhaps we might discuss some of the other promotions in the business. But for the sake of time and sanity, we're just going to go right into the Royal Rumble, and then we'll hit Raw. Then we'll talk a lot about Impact, I believe. And finally, we're definitely going to talk a little bit about SmackDown as well. Pint Noir, did you manage to catch the Royal Rumble this year?
I caught like the waning, the actual Rumble itself. I didn't bother with the pre-match stuff.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll just whip through the results before we get to the Rumble itself. First up, we had Daniel Bryan facing Mark Henry in the Big Show. And Daniel Bryan retained in the cage match. What we ended up seeing is Daniel Bryan dangling, literally, on the outside of the ring, holding on to Big Show's fist. And Big Show couldn't hold on, and Bryan was able to escape as a result and retain his title. Next up, we had a Divas match, three-way, Beth Phoenix, Natalya, four-way, and the Bellas, defeating Kelly, Alicia Fox, Eve, and Tamina. And this was the part of the match where you went to the bathroom. It was not worth watching, in my opinion. And then I guess since you didn't see it, we'll move on.
When is it ever worth watching? When is it ever worth watching?
Other people might argue the next match was also the same case. We had Kane versus John Cena. They fought to a double countout. Nobody won. And we also managed to see a wheelchair-bound Zack Ryder take a tombstone pile driver in front of Eve as the program continues. And we're going to move on again. Next up, we saw Brodus Clay defeating Drew McIntyre in a little over a minute. According to Drow's review, the Funkettes did not announce him well. Now, actually, I want to pause for a moment here. I know you didn't see the Rumble, but I'm sure you've seen the Funkettes announce Brodus Clay. What are your thoughts on the way that they deliver their lines? Are you thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down, Pint Noir?
So far, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that they're not the most gifted orators, but I mean, they're doing something. If I remember correctly, one of the girls was a girl that was like, I think Melina was the best match I've ever seen. So I think, hey, if she can speak and walk at the same time, go for it.
I'm kind of like you on this one. I like that it's different. I'm not sure if the delivery is, you know, right up there with a Fink level. I don't think anyone is, honestly, but it does separate itself from what we normally see, and I always appreciate the little things like that. Okay, next up we had a match that I have a few issues with. It's CM Punk retaining the WWE Championship over Dolph Ziggler. And this, of course, was with John Laurinaitis as the special guest referee. However, he announced that he would enforce the rules from the outside and brought in another referee to actually call the match. Now, my issue with this is that Dolph Ziggler, I feel, is at that level that he should be presented as a guy who is a threat. But CM Punk literally beat him three times without the referee actually calling the end of the match because of distractions and ref bumps and whatnot before he got the fourth takedown of Dolph Ziggler, hence ending the match. That's four losses in one match.
I really don't think they have much faith in him. I mean, I've heard word of things, but it looks like they're just like, hey, CM Punk dropped the pipe bomb last year, so let's just keep it going.
Well, that
I
is a
think.
good point. Well, do you think this will hurt Ziggler's momentum?
I don't think so. I think he can come back from it because, I mean, he is in the title picture. He did take on CM Punk. But I do think that they're just confused what they're going to do with him because, I mean, he is a talent. He can speak. He can wrestle. He made it a long way since the Spirit Squad thing. And yet, for some reason, I'm looking like, why doesn't he have a belt yet? So I don't know if they're just waiting until they can figure out, until politics get involved or whatever, and they can figure out how to get him ahead. But right now, it looks like CM Punk's their new John Cena.
Well, fair enough, and I welcome that. that's an interesting comparison, but I can't argue with you. He is the top face, I think. The majority of fans are behind him, and he's not getting CM Punk sucks chance, so we're pretty much good for now. Okay,
Oh,
well,
yes.
oh, go ahead.
Well, that was
All right, we're gonna hit the Rumble match itself, which I know you saw. It was a 55-minute match. I'm not going to go through all 30 entrants. We can talk about specific ones, absolutely, however. I guess
Definitely.
first up, what are your thoughts of the Royal Rumble this year, Pint Noir?
It's a small little rant. We had Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole. Jim Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I think Jinder Mahal was in the Royal Rumble. And guys that were there, you're just like, why are they there? Because you just knew they were just there to, fill space. And you could have filled it with so many other people that they had the disposal that would have looked more promising. But I remember just watching going, why is he in it? Where's The Rock at? The Rock would have been fun to have The Rock and John Cena involved. Just to have that to push that some more for WrestleMania. Because right now it just looks like it's, the whole Cena Kane thing, which to me it's like, whatever. But seeing that and thinking to myself, like, there's so many different guys you could have put in there that would have helped push WrestleMania or just push that kind of interest into it. But right, it looked really sad to me.
I
Go
can't I,
ahead.
oh I can't argue with you. My take was it felt thin. The roster felt thin, and I don't believe it actually is thin. I mean, there might not be the name recognition with a lot of the guys on NXT and Superstars, but I would rather have seen them in the match than a guy like Michael Cole. I can tolerate a Hacksaw Jim Duggan having like one veteran old school surprise entrant. I felt though that the Road Dogg Jesse James fit the bill a little better. I did actually predict him to show up last week on our Rumble prediction episode, but I mean to me that was I thought that was a no-brainer. The guy works backstage; he's not that old. He could have a go at it. I did appreciate seeing Karma back, but I'm not 100% sure how ring ready she is. What were your thoughts on Karma coming back? Because I mean, she probably just gave birth like a month ago.
Oh, she did. It was like December, but to me, you have to bring her back as soon as possible because right now what we have is like we have Beth as a champion, we have no viable contenders because she's beat them all or they just suck. So the quicker the better to get it rolling for WrestleMania.
Okay, there was one guy who lasted a very long time in the Rumble this year. I thought he had a good performance personally. That was Cody Rhodes. He was in there approximately 45 minutes. He also managed to get six eliminations in, which was the most this year. Certainly not a record-setting performance, but not something to take away from the guy. How did you feel about Rhodes' performance this year in the Rumble?
I believe that he's like the heir apparent to his father compared to Gold, compared to his, Gold Dust. He's gotten over with little gimmicks as far as, they had the face thing, but then, I mean, I feel that they're trying to push him and that what he did in that ring made up for some of the things I hated about it, which was like, Lawler, Cole, and all that. I believe that he should be up there with, along with Ziggler, along with Punk, along with Bryan. He should be those guys that should be running the company here in like next year.
Okay, I got another one for you here on the Rumble. Number 30. You're sitting there. You're wondering who it is. We get the Big Show. Was that a disappointment to you, or was that an okay entrant for a number 30 spot?
It was all right, but I would have expected somebody better. I mean, yeah, it kind of had the whole, like, oh, my God, Big Show's coming out, so he's going to clean house. But, I mean, just it did what it did. I mean, eventually, you know, he got out, but I was hoping, you know, 30%, maybe they can, like, shock us and bring out another legend, maybe, but somebody that, you know, that we all could look like and go, maybe he could win, and we can come back, and we can do this. But Big Show was okay. I couldn't really complain that much. It could have been worse. It could have been, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez come back in.
Yeah, Rodriguez was pretty entertaining. The spot with him, Santino, and Mick Foley, it was a good comedy segment, I felt.
In the middle of the Rumble.
You know you're going to get one. You know, those guys are... I thought the least that spot was definitely... the best utilized for what you expect to get, you know, when you have a comedy segment. How about we had a couple other things. We'll get to the final winner moment at the end, I guess. But why was only Jey Uso in the Royal Rumble? Is his brother in the doghouse or something?
Wasn't his brother the one that got arrested for DUI?
Oh, it could have been. I always get them mixed up. That's a good
point. Me too. I can't. I just remember seeing. I remember thinking that's Rikishi's kids. I'm like, oh, Rikishi's kids. But I think one of them, I think the one that didn't show up was the one that Jimmy Uso was the one that got arrested for DUI. So it's probably just like, hey, you get to go out there and become like a singles competitor. We'll find out. Because you know how they feel about tag teams. You know, they don't care.
That's, yeah, sad but true. So, do you think Kofi Kingston's handstand spot tops John Morrison's parkour ring barrier spot last year? I personally felt it did, but that's a tough call.
I liked it, but I mean, it was. I still remember that whole, you know, the Morrison thing. I remember that thinking to myself, that's pretty cool. It's hard to top that. Now when I see it, like, to me, it feels like they're just repeating things. Like, oh, look at that. We'll do that again. We'll do something really crazy. Like, somebody, you know, come out of the ring. And didn't Dolph Ziggler also do one too, where he like landed and he like jumped, hopped over, back on the steps?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's good point. That was a good show of athleticism. Absolutely.
But also, I believe Coffee's another one that should be up to doing something other than being a tag team with Mr. Druggie.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta
alleged. Sorry, alleged.
That's right. It's possible use of spice, and that's where we're gonna leave it because unless it's confirmed officially. Okay, was there any other entrant you want to talk about before we talk about our Royal Rumble winner? And
I think we should get right to the winner.
All right, Sheamus. Was this a swerve for the sake of a swerve? Because you know they do this to us sometimes. I think it was. I'm a pessimist. I'm sorry. That's me. But I'd like to hear what you think.
I think it was a good call because, I mean, he is Triple H's buddy. And, I mean, it makes sense. He had a chance before, but now he's had more time to build himself. So I can see him taking on Daniel Bryan or who has the belt now. I'm trying to remember because it's kind of foggy. Who has the other belt?
Punk.
Sheamus, I don't think he's going to take on Punk. I think it's going to be like Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. They want to see if they can get money out of that, which would be cool to see because they're two different wrestlers. Sheamus is more about power, and Daniel Bryan has the whole, you know, submission hold, that traditional wrestler feel. So I think it's going to be Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, and I'm just happy to see. I'll be happy to see it because it'd be something different.
Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing the matchup. Bryan's been a face pretty much since the get-go, outside of the short Nexus run. Well, very short Nexus run. He choked the guy out with a tie, and then he was done.
Yeah.
Okay, should we move on to Raw then?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Do you want to roll through this one, or do you want me to do it?
You should, because I remember I said, I caught, Undertaker's return, and I was like, oh, okay. And then Lorne being almost being fired, which led into that.
Okay. Well, we started off the night with Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler. It was a good match. Ziggler was booked rather well. Well, at least for the beginning of the match, but he did, of course, lose to everyone's favorite stoic-faced Viper, Randy Orton, at the end. I guess since it's kind of like the returning Orton pop, we can't be shocked by that. But I go back to what I was talking about earlier. I just think Ziggler needs to get some wins here. He's got to be booked a little stronger. Orton doesn't need the wins. Did you catch any of that match at all?
I remember zipping through it, but I mean, again, like I saw Randy Orton turn and kind of like rolled my eyes, like, like really, like isn't he injured? Shouldn't he take some more time off? Like, just go away for a little while, sit down with your family somewhere.
Like, yeah, now. I mean, to have a herniated disc in your back and be back and, you know, return this soon. It's I'm a little surprised too. I agree with you on that. It's take time off. You know, whether or not the roster's thin or not is a different argument, but if you're going to go long term, you gotta be healthy, and you can't mess around with your back. I mean, that's, we're talking about, you know, what essentially put out Edge, you know, ended his career shorter than I think anyone wanted to see him end it.
But, you know, they say it's probably worried about a spot, or if he takes too much time away, he'll come back and he'll be gone.
Yep, sure that. Okay, next up, we had Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay versus Tyler Rex. That's T-Rex.
I watched on YouTube.
That's right, dinosaur versus dinosaur.
Yes, I caught that on YouTube. I had ever watched every single match of his through YouTube because I had to see it and watch it, because to me, it's hysterical. I watched a Tyler Rex one because I was just like, really? Rex is next? Let's see what happens. And he actually put up an offense more than everybody else did, but still was just like, oh my god, the people they have him go against always has me cracking up, because they're guys that I actually like but I never get to see. So Rex, Kid, JTG, you know, what's the kid's name? The Chosen One.
Drew McIntyre, yeah.
I love watching him, because to see these guys not even get a ring entrance and just stand there and wait for him to come out and get beat like in 3 minutes, it's just fun to watch. And even I think even the crowd has finally gotten behind it, to where they just don't like mimic what he says. Like, I love that catchphrase, should I get him? And everybody just starts mocking with him. I was like, oh my god. This has to be a low point for these guys' career to be like, this is what's going on now. Brodus Clay came back as like, you know, a comedy act, but a good one, because he's still a beast. It's just funny. But I'm getting jobbed out in like 3 minutes flat.
and I don't see the comedy gimmick as a problem, because it's an easy heel turn to get rid of it. You know, he just has to come out and cut a couple sentence long promo and just like, you guys are thinking I'm a joke. I'm gonna show you what I'm really all about, and just start destroying people. Eventually, you know, the crowd will get tired of it, but for now, it's yeah, it's not that big a deal. To me, at least. Also, I don't know.
Oh, sorry. And also, you think about it. When he took on Tyler Rex and Rex, like, popped him in the face, his whole facial expression, like, changed from, like, this is so funny to, I'm going to hurt you. And I was like, there you go, right there. It could happen anytime, you're right. It could happen at any time. Just go right off and just beat somebody to death, you know. But I love it. That is one thing I always like to catch, because to me, it's just like, how could you not love this? Because when he first came out, I dropped my face, like, I wasn't expecting that, but it's worked out.
Oh, for sure. He's not boring me at this point. One thing I was thinking about a little bit about the Funkasaurus, with some of the criticism of the Funkens introduction, which, again, I'm cool with it, but what about maybe having Ricardo Rodriguez introduce the guy, and that could set up a program for a feud later on, with the obvious being Alberto Del Rio.
It would make sense, because yeah, he used to be the bodyguard. So I mean, it would be like, oh, let's take this on. But what happened to Alberto Del Rio? Where has he been?
Apparently he's hurt, but I don't know a lot of details. other than that. But he's at least, you know, if he is hurt, he's taking the time to heal, and when he comes back, they can maybe freshen up his character a little bit. I know there's a lot of definitely people who criticize, you know, and he was getting a little redundant.
They could have given more to do because, I mean, when you think about it, out of the two Hispanic, you know, wrestlers they brought in, he's far surpasses Sin Cara just on, you know, believability and everything else. And it felt like they just were like, you're getting a JBL gimmick. If it doesn't work out, oh well. And it got stale real quick. And then not only that, but he was a champion for, what, a week?
Yeah,
didn't... this whole thing about his destiny.
Yeah, didn't last long, that's for sure.
This is my destiny. And then it's like, oh, that's it. All right.
Okay. Well, let's move on to one of the better matches on television this week. I'm not sure if you caught the entire thing. It was CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. And while we didn't get a clean finish, and in some ways that might be for the best because it'll set up a future match against each other, or at least be something different later down the road where, you know, fans can't complain and say, oh, we already know this guy's better. We ended up having Chris Jericho come out at the end of a very long technical match, probably like 15 minutes long. Excellent bout. Chris Jericho interferes and tosses Daniel Bryan away. And he lands his codebreaker on CM Punk. And because of the attack on Punk, Bryan gets the DQ win. Did you catch this match? Because if you didn't, I recommend, if you have some time today, to YouTube this guy.
I've caught that. I trust me. I mean, I caught, of course, the big thing was, of course, Undertaker's return. But I caught that because when I heard about it, I was like, what? And then it did the handshake. The Code of Honor handshake. I was like... Yeah. Did Vince catch that? Because someone's going to get fired.
Yeah. I'm sure Vince doesn't know about Ring of Honor much.
But yeah. I saw that it was just like, it's kind of funny that they went out to the ring. You know, Daniel Bryan's a heel. Punk's a face now. And it's like, Code of Honor handshake. Okay, let's go. I remember I saw that. I was like, I wonder if anybody else caught that. And sure enough, it was all over the internet. Everybody caught it. Like, yeah, Code of Honor, yeah. But seeing Chris Jericho, yeah,
another Bingo Hall promotion.
Oh, I know. But seeing Chris Jericho come out and like Codebreaker Punk was like, I knew the feud was coming because they've been talking about it. Even on that time we did the interview with Joe, and Joe was like, "What do you think of his return?" I was like, "Yeah, this is pretty cool because we know he's going to feud with CM Punk." I know you didn't ask that question, but I'm just getting it out there. I knew it was going to happen. Because it's been something they've been talking about since, like, day one. You know, it's like, Punk's going to take on Jericho, and we're going to see it at WrestleMania. It's going to happen. And when he came out there, I was like, yep, I knew it was going to happen.
Okay. Well, we got another member of the Hall of Fame. We got her celebrity this year. I think without question of all the celebrities that have gone in, this guy certainly belongs amongst the top echelon of them. Without question, you know, when the Monday Night Wars were going on, there probably couldn't have been a more credible real-life fighter in Mike Tyson.
Oh, yes. I love the fact that you were commenting on it. Why has he been inducted into the Hall of Fame? You know, it's like because he was very integral to the whole Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold feud that ended with him knocking out Shawn Michaels and putting him on the shelf. You know, he wasn't responsible for that part, but it gave that kind of illusion that he was responsible for getting rid of HBK leading to the age of Stone Cold. He's very important to have there, more so than Drew Carey, more so than, you know, maybe not Cyndi Lauper, but more so than Drew Carey.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper certainly helped usher in the age or
the rock
era.
And roll. Yep.
Yeah. You can't dismiss that because I mean, who knows if WrestleMania would have even been a success without MTV's involvement? Okay. Well, we'll roll along here. We got a couple quick, probably less important matches. We'll get through here. Kofi Kingston faced off with The Miz. Like we touched on earlier, Kingston's getting a chance to have singles matches again, getting broken out of the Air Boom fiasco. Essentially, he hits his trouble in paradise and gets a victory here. I don't know if there's much more to say than that, but your call.
Oh, we're good. I just figured he's doing his own thing now, which is good.
No doubt, no doubt. Another exciting match, of course, would be Beth Phoenix versus Eve. And...
okay, right. I gotta say something on that one.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. When it comes to Divas matches, whenever anybody mentions any of these, I'm always like, let me say one thing. Knockouts are better. And that match took a minute long, and it was so pointless. And it interacted with the whole Kane thing, which to me is just like he's just stalking her. And I was more interested in the fact that we need Karma now. We just need Karma to come in and just get this over with and move on to something else. That was horrible. It was like a minute. And Eve has talent. I've seen her put on good matches. So I'm like, why are we watching a minute squash match between Beth and Eve on national TV while they're trying to get ratings just to pump up the whole Kane and his little goofy little mask thing? I'm confused by that.
You got me, man. I don't understand the program outside of keeping John Cena busy, and I get that, but I could do without him even on TV if this is what they're going to fill their time with. I'm just not interested in it, and I'm not interested in what they're doing in the Divas division lately, and we're gonna get into that when we get to SmackDown even more so here. Okay, well, to cap off our show, we had a job review as our main event segment, not match. John Laurinaitis is being reviewed by Triple H. Triple H comes out, and apparently the board of directors has decided that he no longer has a personal attachment to having the position of being in charge of Raw. And basically at the moment where he's about to fire John Laurinaitis, or at least as we're led to believe, the gong hits. And I know you have something to talk about with this one, so I'm just going to let you do it, man.
First off, that was the longest, most prolonged interview firing segment I've seen in my entire life. I'm watching it, thinking to myself, just get on with the program. We know. And you can tell someone was going to interrupt because he just kept going on and on. And it's like, get to the point where you fire him. Get to the point where you fire him. Oh, there's Undertaker. This year, I'm not impressed because we did this last year. They come in. He looks at looks at WrestleMania 28. And then they look at each other and it's like, we understand each other. But to me, it was like, you have this whole setup where Triple H is saying, I no longer have any hang-ups stopping me from being in charge. I have no more personal interest that'll stop me from being, you know, a good GM, whatever you want to call it. And then that happens, and you're just like, okay, so John Laurinaitis keeps his job because, you know, Undertaker comes back with a wig on. And we get a repeat match because Triple H lost, but he actually put Undertaker in the hospital on the shelf. So the whole gimmick is now Undertaker has to beat him and still walk out on his feet now. That's the whole match now.
And do you think we're going to see HBK as rumored as the guest referee at WrestleMania for this match?
At this point, I would care less. I really don't. I mean, he had good matches with Undertaker, those two matches. He's done. Move it on. Triple H doing the same thing to me. It's like, you couldn't find anybody else to take on Undertaker. Anybody. You couldn't have built up anybody. I understand that was it last year they were trying to get a hold of Sting to get involved with it, and he turned it down at the last minute, but it's like, anybody else? Because, I mean, I understand the point, but to me it's like, this is kind of like, why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, you got me, man. It's the third time, and it's not even a rubber match. If it was a rubber match, I'd care. Because at least you'd have that. You'd have, like, okay, who's the best of? But we're talking about the streak. We're talking about something that probably means more to most people, or at least older fans like ourselves, than any of the titles. It's... I mean, who can say that they've won 19 matches in a row at the biggest pay-per-view in the genre of professional wrestling? And I'm not calling it sports entertainment. Sorry, because this is usually reserved for a good match, or at least in the last 10 years, because I guess I'd be lumping in the Giant Gonzalez and some of the other stuff we've seen. I'm with you all the way on this one, Pytor. I'm not looking forward to this. I mean, maybe they'll change my mind when I see the pay-per-view, because I will watch this one, and I will drop money on it. I have friends that will actually watch this pay-per-view with me, and they're hard to find in this day and age where I live, which is sad, because I apparently live in the mecca of Canadian wrestling in Calgary. You would think I could find fans to watch a pay-per-view with me, but no. Okay. Well, let's, unless you, do you have any other thoughts on Raw that we might have missed, or should we just bounce along to, an episode of Impact?
Impact, yes. Impact.
Okay. Do you wanna call this one? Cause I know you reviewed it, and, I got stuff to say too, but.
Definitely.
Okay.
I have to start off saying that was excellent when I watched it. I actually wasn't bored to death. If you read my review, I didn't sound like I was just like, oh, here we go again. I put effort into my review this time because it was actually good. Because in England, London, England, Wembley is arena, right? Because Summer Stadium is the other one.
Yeah.
Blu-ray. Yeah. So, yeah, it is arena, right? All right. Because somebody said it was a Wembley Stadium and arena there.
Okay. In that case, I'm not 100% sure. But it was like a 7,000 to 8,000 crowd, which certainly beats the 1,000 max or so that they get at the Impact Zone in Orlando.
Definitely. And I loved it. Bully Ray and Rude came out, heated the crowd up. Sting came out. I mean, it was the same setup like in the Impact Zone, but it looked so much better when it was in front of a live crowd. You know, just you see the same thing every, you know, when they come out, you know, Ray will come out, Rude will come out, Sting will come out, Storm will come out. And then you're just like, okay, we're just week in, week out. This week it was the same thing, but a live crowd made it a whole lot better.
Yeah, I think the atmosphere right off the bat when I tuned in, they had me. I was paying attention. The way they presented it, they made it a big deal. And you know what? They should make it a big deal. This is the first televised event overseas that they've done. And they had a montage with voiceover and opening shots to the large crowd and shots of London. You know, they probably didn't even have to pipe in any audio because that crowd was hot. I bet they probably did anyway, but regardless, and I agree with
you. Oh, I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, and sending out Bully Ray to be the first guy to talk out of the bunch, you know, possibly one of the best heel talkers in the business today. On the show, I still think Ric Flair has an edge on him. I got a soft spot for the guy because he always makes me pop, but Bully Ray's microphone skills, they're at a level now where he's definitely in the right up there in the top regardless. I really enjoyed that opening. But what was next? What happened after that? Because like I was hooked and I know what it is, but let's tell the good folks listening at home.
Oh yeah, Storm come out and he's raging. He wants to, you know, I guess they had a plan originally to have a 2-on-1 match, handicap match. Which of course now it's like, okay, now that you're out here, it's actually gonna be it's like a gauntlet, pretty much. So you're gonna take on Rude first, and then you'll get Ray at the end. And I was like, okay, I can watch this. You're getting James Storm been put to the paces to take on Rude eventually, because that's what I'm hoping to see, is Rude versus Storm at like Lockdown or something like that. So to me, it was nice seeing that, and the crowd was ecstatic. I love what I love about the live crowd is whatever is crap they boo, and whatever is good they cheer for. Case in point, I'm shifting things around, but just I'm going by excitement level here.
Okay, no worries.
The nepotism story with Garrett Bischoff.
Oh.
When he came out, the crowd was so booing, going crazy. They didn't care. It didn't matter that it was Eric Bischoff being booed. They booed his son, too. It was everybody's getting booed.
Yep, that's what I heard, too. They apparently did some production on that and made it sound a little different, didn't they?
Yeah, they pumped in some audio noise where you're just like, we know they're booing because you can see people's reactions in the radio, like, you know, doing things, the facial, you know, the moves you do when you're booing, and yet there's like, oh, no, we care cheering. No one cares. This whole thing with Garrett Bischoff in London proves it's like Eric Watts all over again, over in, like, you know, in the old WCW, where it was like, let's push Eric Watts, you know, Bill Watts' son, and see how this works. It didn't go anywhere because no one cares.
It's that this whole program was, you know, pretty obvious from the start. With Hogan being the trainer, I think they book for television, and I would love to say that they book for pay-per-view, but it's obvious that they don't. Especially with that one, two of them ago, where you had to tune into Impact to get the last 5 minutes of overtime. And I just wonder why they would reveal, in this almost same sentence, Mike today is saying, tonight, Garrett Bischoff's mystery trainer will be revealed. Oh, and Hulk Hogan returns, and it's, come on.
I love that, too. He ruined the whole return, the surprise, before it even happened. It's like, and tonight, Hulk Hogan returns, and I'm like, yeah, you just told everybody what happened. It's like, thanks. Even though we all knew who it was going to be, it still was kind of like, even Mike Tenet was like, I don't really care. It's Hogan. He's coming back tonight.
Yeah, like, leave a little bit of a mystery to it, even though it's not a mystery, you know? Scooby-dooby-doo! And it's Old Man Smithers, and if it wasn't for you damn kids, I would have gotten away with it, too. It's just, I don't know. I would rather that they at least had some sort of swerve, like, just have RVD backstage talking to Garrett and turn around and see the camera and run away or something. Like, just do something to at least make it almost a mystery, even though, you know,
It was just, and I mean, what got me was we knew he was going to be the trainer because, you know, it was kind of obvious, but the fact that they're still pushing this and that Hogan, when he gave the interview after the whole, you know, Gunner and the beat up and everything else, where he was basically, even for being a shoot on Eric Bischoff and how he was wrong for attacking his son, to all of a sudden becoming TNA's, you know, this close to greatness. It's this close to greatness. It's on the cusp of greatness. And he made a analogy between him and a boat and how he's like the mast of a boat. He's clear, leading through the fog and getting TNA to greatness. And if anybody in the back doesn't understand that, then he'll grab him and point him in that direction too. And I'm like, is this about Eric Bischoff or is this about the company? Because it's about the company. This whole nepotism thing is going to sink it. You know, it's going to sink this whole segment because no one cares about Garrett Bischoff. Maybe if he was Jackson James and they gave him a lot of build himself up, they can care, but that was just horrible.
Well, they'd have problems, though, because he's got that Bischoff tattoo.
Yes, I mean, who gets a tattoo of their last name on their chest? Who does that?
Garrett, apparently. But I hear you, man. That's just... I can't argue with a single thing you say. You're 100% right in my mind. I totally agree. And we're giving this guy almost too much audio time in a sense ourselves, but you're right. It's just bad. Nepotism is clearly what this is. Do you have anything else you want to say about it? Because I know there's a few other spots on the show that are totally more relevant to a professional wrestling fan. But we have the right to be angry about this, I think, too.
I do have something quick. Mark Haskin thing, where he did the shooting star press and, like, planted his face into the mat.
Oh, that was
funny to me.
I apparently had a minor concussion of some sort.
Yes.
You actually opened my eyes to that. I wasn't aware. Like, I saw the spot, but I didn't realize he got injured, and I heard more on the dirt sheets later in the week. That the beginning of that match, like until that point, was excellent. They had this anything you can do, I can do better storytelling going on between the two guys. You know, I was completely enthralled by it, and my thinking was after watching it, other than the Miss Shooting Star Press, was man, if they would just dedicate 1 hour of the show and give the production value to guys from, you know, the indies, or maybe even, hell, steal some guys from Ring of Honor. Like, that's what I want to see on Ring of Honor, because that's my big knock on that program, is it can be hard to watch because of the production value. The wrestling's great. but the audio and the cameras, I mean, this is a bloody television company that owns, when Sinclair owns Ring of Honor, and they can't provide production value. And after watching this match, I mean, there's been some good X Division matches over the last 6 months or so, but that one, I was blown away. I mean, it was number two in the week for me after the Punk Bryan match. I thought, you know, even with 4 minutes, those guys delivered.
Yes, they did, yes. And the reason why I call attention to that whole thing where he smacks his face in the ground is because I found out myself, you know, on the dirt sheets, before, you know, after I got all comfortable with it, was because when I watched it, I'm thinking, that can't be fake. Because when his face smacked that, you know, and even Austin Aries looked at him like, uh-oh, like, what happened? But the fact that Austin Aries, like a professional that he is, picked him up, you know, brain-busted him and put him in the, you know, horns of Aries was kind of like, and it was nice seeing different, that whole move being brought, you know, being brought in. Was, to me, it was just like, wow, this man put his heart out there to show that he, you know, he hasn't been on TV since August, and it's like, please pay attention to me, I'm good. So I appreciate that compared to what I saw earlier.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you also have to wonder, I would hope that Haskins was able to call an audible to tell him to finish the match. And Aries didn't just go through with it regardless. I mean, I'm going to assume that, you know, that happened. Or Aries is clearly a capable wrestler. There's no argument about that. But a little later on, I was thinking about that a bit. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, I really hope there was some sort of, like, tap on the shoulder or whatever indicating cue they use to say it's okay, you can land the move on me, because wow, what a botch, you know, injuries scenario if not. Okay, I realize we are running a little late on time, but I would rather focus on an amazing episode of Impact, and we could totally rush through SmackDown if need be. What else have we not talked about we need to address with Impact?
Oh, the Rise of Tara.
Oh, okay.
They finally got tired of Mickie James and were like, hey, let's bring in Tara and have her do something different. I'm happy to see that because, you know, I'm a big fan of Mickie James because, you know, WrestleMania 22, her and Trish Stratus. One of my all-time matches I love watching when it comes to women wrestling, because it was an action match and it was decent. It was in Canada. It was awesome because Canadian fans didn't react the way that you expect them to react, because you expect them to go out there and cheer for Trish and was like, no, boo. Give us
Trish Stratus
back. And you're like booing and it's like, you're just like, oh my God, like, you know, Mickie James is the bad guy. Why are you cheering that on? And it's, and it, I loved it. That whole gimmick, and now she's in TNA. I thought that was awesome, but now I'm just like, I'm noticing flaws about how she performs. I'm just like the hopping around, the DDT move that she tries that half the talent doesn't seem to work for her. And I think the breaking point for me was when she took on that whole gauntlet. Mickie James took on like the entire Knockout roster and won, like not even that convincingly, and I was like, done.
Huh.
Give me somebody else, because I mean, at this point, you're just like, if she could beat Sarita, which I'm still mad about that because they haven't utilized her at all, and you know, you beat everybody else in like a 5 minute time period, and you can't beat Gail because she likes to cheat, then you need to be done, move on to somebody else.
No, that's a good point. Well, there's a couple good points there actually. Sarita, first off, definitely underutilized. You know, we usually are pretty critical of, you know, the physiques of some of our divas, being kind of like the beauty models and what. But that girl's just fit and shape, you know, but she can go. She's still a bit green in a few areas, but overall, I think she's much better than the majority of the divas or knockouts for that matter.
Velvet.
And I also agree that, that DDT spot is really awkward looking, too.
I've watched her do it so many times, like, to, like, Angelina Love. And you saw that. I remember that match, like, months back in a pay-per-view when it was Angelina versus Mickey. And Angelina couldn't, as skinny as she is, couldn't get that spot done right. Neither could Sarita. To me, it's just like she should try something else. And it needs to do a different move. I don't know if people are afraid they have it done to him or what, but it doesn't work out. And it looks kind of foolish for her to grab him and be trying to twirl around her. It's like, no, stop it. Get off me.
Yeah, you could quite easily just bring out the chick kick, you know, if it's not
That'll
being
work.
used, right? I mean, that's an easy one to sell, and it's an easy one to deliver. Absolutely. Okay, what anything else on Impact? Because I know you got at least one rant prepared on SmackDown for us.
Yeah, let's go on that rant for SmackDown. Because I deserve, if you want to read anything else, people, look at the review.
Well,
it's all there.
I know we're on the clock here, so okay, we'll hit up SmackDown. I'll whip through this as quick as I can. It won't take too long. We got our Elimination Chamber match announced. Bryan's going up against Barrett, Big Show, Rhodes, Henry, and Randall Keith Orton. They're going to draw numbers, but we didn't get any indication who got what number yet. But they got time to build that, so I was a little critical of that while I was watching it, but in hindsight, you don't have to rush the program. Anybody in the chamber you don't like in there, I think should be replaced by another SmackDown talent?
I really think for the elimination, they should be bringing up some FCW talent to, you know, to sneak him in there, especially Seth Rollins. He definitely needs to be in there, and like Dean Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
I understand they're not at that later. They should at least be snuck in, because, I mean, those two guys, especially Dean Ambrose, with this, he can do it all. Bring him in there.
Yeah, I like that one too. I'm still waiting for Tyler Black, but Ambrose is definitely worthy of being on the roster now. I completely agree with you on that. All right, we got some promo stuff with Henry and along, and Henry's been suspended indefinitely. And I mean, that's probably just to let the guy heal. I got no
definitely.
Problems with that. Like, bring him back healthy and bring him back angry, and I'm cool. I'm cool with that, because I think Henry's been excellent lately. He's been working through injuries, right?
Yes. The reason I like him is because through all the years they've given him dumb gimmicks, he's proven that he will stick with the company. He'll do what he has to do. And he needs some time off. And I loved his gimmick. I loved how he was in the Hall of Pain. I loved that entire run. And I was hoping to see a face-off between him and Brodus Clay when Brodus Clay got past the whole jobbers thing and got to actually take it on talent. But he deserves a break. He's did some hard work. He's excellent. I can't knock him at all, really.
All right. Okay, after that, we get Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes. It was an okay match. I wouldn't call it a 5-star by no means, but there were some decent spots. I think Rhodes jumping off the retaining barrier there, doing his drop kick, modified Shining Wizard. You know I love my Shining Wizards on the Great White. It was pretty sick. And then of course Sheamus brought out his new finishing maneuver, which I didn't realize at first, but it's been pointed out to me. It's not only a move that we've seen Finley do, but Drow pointed out that Alex Shelley has also performed this particular finisher. And this is my thought on it. Again, I know we're running really short. I like guys who have like three finishers or more because it gives them flexibility. I just wonder what your thought on that is. And we got definitely one more thing to talk about here after that.
I missed that one where his finisher was. What is it like now?
It's kind of like Finley's finisher. He sets you up almost like he's going to drop like an FU or F5 or go to sleep type of deal. And then he kind of spins you around and it drops you on the back of your head. Almost like a DDT in a way, like a reverse DDT.
Okay, actually, okay. That works. I mean, he already has the bro kick. He has the Celtic cross. And obviously, I guess they're doing this move for, I guess, yeah, to either just get rid of one of his other moves or just to make him like, he can hit you with anything. Like with Edge, you know, he had the, we call it the flatliner move, and then he had the DDT move, and then they gave him the spear, which I never really liked the spear, but I guess I got the whole point was like, oh, he's developing his different stages.
and it gives the guy another move with the spear. And similar to having Sheamus with the bro kick, if the guy's too big to pick up, you have something that the fans can buy as a finishing maneuver, right?
Oh yes, I still like the Celtic Cross. I wish he would bring that back. I haven't seen that done in a while.
Oh, that's a great move. Great move. Okay. Looking at the clock, I know you want to talk about it, and I'm pissed off about it myself. So I'm gonna just fast forward, and we'll see how time works out to a little gimmick they've given Natalya, and just have at it, man. Just tear him a new one, bro.
Not only is Bret Hart like this is dumb, but what has she done wrong to like be given a gimmick where she farts and people throw up in cans or people, she's, what does that mean? Like, what is the point of giving her that? She's a good talent. She's a good wrestler. You could have so had her taking on Beth and doing something, put on actual programs or worth seeing or last longer than 2 minutes. But now she's in these vignettes where she's farting when she's working out and things of that nature. That is retarded. That is the most wasted talent, wasted use of talent. Even TNA hasn't gone that far yet with their talent in just wasting in that regard. And Vince, I guess, doesn't even care. Okay, I can breathe. All right.
I hear you, man, and I know we're gonna be in agreement because it's exactly that. It's a waste of talent, and you gotta wonder if it isn't some kind of vindictive, quote unquote revenge on the Hart family and the whole Bret thing, even though they on TV have made up. Because I look at that and I mean, not only am I offended as a wrestling fan, I'm just offended in general as a person. It's like taking someone at the top of their game or someone who's like one of the better athletes out there and benching them for a season. Just saying, hey, you know what? It's the Super Bowl, and we didn't even talk about that today, but we're just gonna bench our star quarterbacks for this one, and hey, fans at home, fuck you. we're gonna give you our D line guy. You can have the worst on our team. Oh my lord!
Is she still dating Tyson Kidd?
I know they've been on and off. I have no clue where they're at right now, but because Tyson Kidd is another guy who seems to be in the same boat of not being given any credit or respect. But at least he's not farting on camera every week. He just gets
squashed.
He's just
jobbing a Brutus.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I know you said you got to go to work pretty quick, and we all got to pay the bills.
Sorry about the last track of time, yeah.
Anything I missed on SmackDown, or should we call it a show? We got a pretty long one in the can for the folks.
I think we cover all the major points. I was like, whoa, that is the farting. Oh, that's horrible. Just that's all I could think of that really stood out to me. It was like, I know it was something that wasn't done, overdone because they did a little mobbing out of it, but it was still just like that stuck out in my mind more than anything else on SmackDown. That's what it was, because it upset me so much.
Yeah.
No Brodus Clay, man, too. No Brodus Clay. How you not have that?
Yeah, they cut it out, and I don't have an answer for you. I didn't read anything about it. Okay, well, in that case, that's it. That's episode 10, folks. We made it happen. Hope everyone who wasn't able to make it's doing better. Pint Noir and myself are quite happy to chat wrestling on a Sunday here. I'm going to try to get this episode up the same day for you. I normally don't do this stuff, but I do have the ability to do so. So I've managed to make it through all 10 episodes, and Pint Noir has been here for at least 7 of them. So we're going to be the Iron Men of Board Wrestling Fan for this week. And Pint Noir, I'm gonna close the show since I opened it.
Well, folks, this was fun talking. I love rambling about wrestling because it still gets to me even to this day. 27 years old, still rambling about it. So good night, folks. See you later.